money talk.
My money talk for me.
Let the money talk.
My money talk.
Let the money talk.
Hey, what's going on, world? It's your boy, Lawrence Kane Jr., financial coach and author and host of the Money Talks podcast on the Never Not Working Network. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Hope you're having a good week. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you're having a good moment. It's all about positive vibes today. So, again, want to welcome you to our podcast today. I think we got some good information. A lot of people talk about this on social media. A lot of people reach out to me regarding this. And even Jay-Z had it on his latest album, you know, talking about strip clubs and credit. So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about credit. Again, when you got Jay-Z talking about the importance of it, I think, you know, it really sparked a lot of dialogue on social media. And I've just been really waiting to talk about this. We have most recently, we had the Equifax breach. So over 143 million Americans were affected. Me personally, I was affected. Somebody tried to swipe for about $1,500 on one of my bank accounts. But with having identity protection, they didn't get a dime. So this is an important matter. So I want to go ahead and get into it. We have, first off, the history of credit, right? So credit has really always been a part of the United States, right? It used to be, you know, IOUs and, you know, people did credit based on, you know, relationships. But, you know, before credit scores, lenders looked at payment history, word of mouth, and these lenders actually used to do home visits to see how you actually were living. But in the 1950s, two guys, Bill Fair and Earl Isaac, created an automated scoring system. And at first it was whack, but then they kept working at it, and eventually they created the FICO score, which we use today. And we'll talk about that a little later for those who don't know what a FICO score is. Then they sold that idea to banks and retailers around the world. And then in 1970, that marked the creation of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So this act regulates what information will be collected for credit bureaus, what could be reported on your credit report, and for how long. And then they also talk about how we, as the consumers, can check our credit. It was a lot of credit bureaus once upon a time. But then, you know, we got the big three that pretty much have a monopoly on the credit industry. You got Equifax, you got Experian, and you got TransUnion. So when people talk about the FICO score, right, most lenders go off of FICO score. And the FICO score is literally the median of those three scores. So, for example, your Equifax score can be, you know, 500. Your Experian can be a 550. And your TransUnion can be a 600. They're going to go, the FICO score is the 550. And it doesn't really matter which bureau is reporting that median. They're going to go off the number. But again, those three, I mean, and some of them, two of them didn't even start off as in the, you know, finance industry. One was a railroad company. So, I mean, they built it up. But again, you know, these are the three credit bureaus. And we know that credit is really important living in America. I mean, the things that it impacts on a day-to-day basis is important, but just for when we talk about the next generation, right, I'm always bringing up getting the next generation to the next level. So, I mean, it impacts our housing, right, even when we rent. You know, it's some, you know, really nice apartment buildings that the landlords check your credit. And if you have bad credit, they're not going to let you live in that building, right? So when you talk about getting a home, credit score is important. Your credit report is important when you talk about becoming a homeowner. You know, employment. You talk about getting a better job, right? Getting a promotion. I just sat down with a good friend, and she was telling me how she had a promotion 2 years ago, and they checked her credit, and they demoted her because she had things in collections. And they said, you can't have things in collections when you have this job title. So, I mean, it literally altered the course of her life. And she bounced back. She's a true champ. I love her to death. But, again, it did affect her. When you talk about business endeavors, it affects that. You know, business credit is important. When you talk about scaling up in business, it's not just about getting more sales. Sometimes you need that instant capital because that's a problem or a challenge that we have in our black community, is that we don't have the capital necessary to scale up. So we try to get business credit. We try to get business loans, and we have bad personal credit. So it translates to bad business credit. So that's an impact. You talk about insurance rates, from your car insurance to, you know, your homeowner's warranty insurance to life insurance. You know, all of that plays a big factor. You know, even T-Mobile will check your credit. You know, these cell phone companies, you know, they check it to see how much you're going to put down on your new phone, right? Everybody talking about the iPhone X, and, you know, people are going to, they're going to run your credit. And some people are going to have to pay, you know, $15 for a $1,000 phone, just how it's going to run. And then, you know, the ability to build wealth. So generational wealth is bigger than just, you know, a business or, you know, getting an inheritance. But it's really, you know, credit can help you gain leverage and, you know, scale up and getting rental properties and getting different things with your credit. And the biggest thing, you know, in my book, Money Seeds, 30 Financial Principles, one of the principles in the book is, you know, if cash is king, credit is the ace. So, yeah, you can buy stuff with cash all you want, but at the end of the day, you do need good credit, if not for you, for your kids and for your loved ones. So what is a credit score, and how do they develop it, right? So, of course, you got the credit report, which is, you know, your financial report card, right? And these classes, if you will, right, that's on the report card is broken down, right? Credit card utilization or credit utilization is one. You got payment history. You got derogatory marks. You got age of credit history. You got total accounts. And you also have your credit inquiries, right? The hard inquiries. So, you know, let's break those down, right? And how can we make sure that those are all good on our report card? So for credit card utilization, right? So if you have a credit card, it goes off of your actual limit, right? So if you got a $1,000 limit, you want to make sure that your credit card utilization percentage is low. In last episode, we talked about credit cards. If you haven't checked that out, go and review that one. But with credit card utilization, again, if you have $1,000 limit, you should have no higher than a $100 balance at any time, because anything higher can drop your credit score. So that's real important. Keep the percentage low. But then the beauty about the credit card utilization percentage is that you can keep it low, and then you can also increase your limit, right? So you can either get another credit card, or you can ask for an increase on your card. You can also do become an authorized user on somebody else's card. We talked about that last episode. And I mean, that's just the easiest way without spending money, right? We want to be able to do things that don't cost money first, and then if we got to pay, then, you know, we just got to do what we got to do. There's another thing, as I was doing research on how to really increase your credit, and when it talks about the credit card utilization and the payment history, which we'll get into in a moment, there is actually a company called SelfLender, and I'm giving them free promotion, but I did reach out to the CEO already, so we're going to be talking soon about a partnership. But this company, SelfLender, they have a savings program wrapped in a loan, which means that you will, quote unquote, get a loan for, let's say, $500. You would make monthly payments on that loan for 2 years. During that 2 years, they report to the credit bureau that payment history, which is building your credit, right, for people that may not have good credit. And then after you pay the loan off, you get all of the money back. And the money is being placed in a CD. For those who don't know what a CD is, it's an old school way of saving and getting interest. They don't it's not a lot of interest that accrues, you know, as far as your investment, but it's literally a savings plan wrapped in a loan. So again, I just found these guys on the internet. I reached out to them. They're based in Texas. So again, that's something that you can do if you don't have any payment history or any credit card utilization. Again, you have it to where this company can literally help you build your credit by having a savings program wrapped in a loan. So you get I think the lowest loan you can get is $500. I think the highest they have is $1,500. You get whichever one you can afford. It's going to build your credit. You're going to pay on that loan, but you're technically not going to get money. You're just going to pay on it like you have a loan. At the end of 24 months, you have 24 months of good payment history on your credit on all three credit bureaus. Because let me backtrack. Every company, every business that you deal with doesn't have to report to all three credit bureaus. That's why it's important that you check your credit, because you really have to. you really have to be on top of it, because it may be something where it's an inaccuracy on your credit report, or you have it to where something that was supposed to be reported isn't on there. So that's why it's important. But again, it's called SelfLender. And again, you can go to selflender.com, I believe, or you can Google them and see about that. But again, that's a way to help build your credit. Then you got, again, another part of the credit report is your payment history, right? So again, making your payments on time, that percentage should be 100%. Now in school, when we got a 90% or above, it was an A, whether it was an A minus, an A, or A plus. When it comes to payment history for your credit, anything below a 98% is an F. So I'll repeat that, anything below a 98%. So if you miss one payment, that can drop you from 100% to a 98. And if you miss another one, that can drop you to a 97 that fast. And the payment history is a very high impact credit factor when you look at it. So, I mean, bottom line, the way to make sure that you stay in the A is to continue to make your payments on time, right? Make sure you create a budget. We'll be talking about budgeting in the next few episodes, but definitely get a budget. Make sure you stick to it. Make sure you always have money for your bills, and make sure you handle business. The third part of the credit report is derogatory marks. So this is anything that is placed in collections or like a tax lien or bankruptcy. So, I mean, of course, you can check all of this on, annualcreditreport.com. You can also, most banks like Fifth Third Bank or Chase, they usually can give you your credit score every month. Or you can always use Credit Sesame, which is an app, as well as Credit Karma. And those apps are really for looking at what's on your credit, not really analyzing what your credit score is. But you can look at it on there. Derogatory marks hurt you. If you have one derogatory mark, that can drop your credit score pretty low. Just like missing a payment on a loan can drop your credit score. So you want to look at what's on there. It may be most things that I see when I'm talking to clients that's on their derogatory marks. It's usually medical bills. It's usually a utility bill like cable or, their gas and electric that they had or somebody had in their name. That's usually what it is. Or an old credit card that got charged off. So those derogatory marks, you can dispute them. I had a debate with a guy last week about it. I mean, we dispute the actual accuracy of it. You can dispute something, they can take it off, and the next week it can be back on. But bottom line is you can definitely dispute anything on your credit that's showing up as a derogatory mark. If you need help on doing that, you can reach out to me. Again, you can email me moneytalks@abundanceuniversity.net, or you can, of course, reach out to me via social media at Lawrence Kane Jr. But again, derogatory marks, they really they hurt a lot of people. And it, we get derogatory marks because we just, most of us are taught, you know, to pay what we have to pay. And we'll figure everything else out later. So we just got to get everything in order at the end of the day. Now, the next one is the age of credit history. So this is the average age of your credit accounts. This is where we fall behind with everybody else because we normally don't start our credit history until we're about 24, 25, when most people should be start. Everybody should start at no later than 18. And that's where, you know, getting authorized on somebody else's credit card comes into play. Or, you know, once we have these lessons in our school, we can have more responsible young adults and they can figure it out the right way. But age of credit history, again, the only way to really grow that and keep that in good standing is literally to keep on living and making payments on time. It's literally the only thing you can really do. And then you have total accounts, right? So anything over 11 accounts, whether they're closed or open, those are good. If you only have, let's say you have one account open, but everything else is good, that's fine. Like, don't just go out here trying to get different accounts open. You know, you got a Victoria's Secret card or, you know, you get a Macy's card. No, you don't need all of that. It's okay. Because it's one of the low impact factors when it comes to credit. And then your hard inquiries, right? That's the last stage. Credit inquiries, you know, those, anything over two can, you know, start affecting you in a negative way. Credit inquiries fall off 2 years from when they're reported, but you can always look at disputing them if it may be something where you talk to Time Warner and or Spectrum and you didn't really want to go through with it, but they, you know, pulled your credit anyway. You can dispute that off. It may jump your score a point or two, but it's not a really big deal when it comes to building the credit. But I mean, really, when it comes down to it, you want to check your credit score once a month. Anything over that is literally too much, because any changes that's made on your credit, it takes at least 30 days for it to update. So whether you check it, you know, today as you're listening to this, and then, you know, you check it 2 weeks later, chances are it's going to be the same. So literally, you know, check it once a month. Make sure, you know, you manage what's on there. Again, Credit Karma is a good tool because it shows the six credit factors. It shows where you're at, whether you're poor or you're excellent. And then that really shows you where you need to go from there. Also, when you look at Credit Karma, or your credit period, whether you look at Credit Karma or you go on Equifax's website, understand that, you know, you want to look at how much is your total debt, right? A lot of people I meet with, they know how much they pay towards their debt per month, but they don't know the actual balances. So you may have four student loans and you're paying $200 a month, but what are those balances and how do you really get debt free the fastest? By actually looking and seeing where you're at. It's just like working out. You can't see how to lose weight effectively or tone up effectively if you don't take the measurements, right? If you don't get on a scale, if you don't measure your waist, if you don't measure your stomach, if you don't measure your biceps and your neck and all of the things that you need to do in order to start that journey, that's what needs to happen. And I mean, I'll be honest, we did a question on Facebook a few months ago, and I asked, would you rather have $75,000 cash, all of your debt paid off, or an 850 credit score? Because, you know, the credit score, the lowest you can go is 300, the highest can be an 850. A lot of people said they would rather be debt free because they're credit score would jump up to 850 anyway. And I'm like, no, that's not correct at all. It is best to be debt free, in my opinion. But an 850 credit score is also good, and that's something that you can do. You can do all of those.
You need to be shooting for having $75,000 in the bank. You need to be shooting to be debt free. You also need to be shooting for an 850 or at least 800, because that's where you can really leverage yourself, where you're paying the lowest interest rates on stuff that you're going to buy anyway. If you're going to get a car, you don't want a 10% interest rate. You would much rather have a 0.9. And getting an 800 credit score and having a decent income and not having a lot of debt, that can get you that. If you look at these commercials, these car commercials are not, you know, advertising to people with bad credit. They're talking about, you know, no money down, and they're talking about interest, you know, free for the first 12 months. That's for people that with good credit. You go in there trying to get that 2017 Mercedes, you're going to put something down if you got bad credit, period.
So just understand that good credit is the best thing to have. And while you're working on getting debt free, while you're working on growing your income, credit is easily manageable. Like, I know you may be in the 400s, the 500s. You may be in the low sixes, and you're like, man, I can't do anything with this. Yes, you can. You can leverage yourself, continue to make, pay down some stuff. If you have a high credit card balance, pay it down. Use that extra money. I know Christmas coming up. Get yourself the best present and get some good credit, man. So, we definitely need to get that together. And I want to jump into the money saving tip of the week, which is brought to you by Abundance University. If you don't know, Abundance University is a financial education company that I founded. We do financial coaching, we do credit repair, and we do workshops. So go on abundanceuniversity.net, check us out. If you need help financially, remember, it happens on purpose. So make that first step and hit us up. So as far as the tip today, I want to talk about, if you have a business, you need to put your phone bill and your internet in your business name. You need to call your companies, you know, whoever you deal with, and ask what is their business special. Because I did this earlier this year with our me and my wife's phone bill. Put it in the business name. Literally saved us $50 a month. And you say, man, that's not a lot of money. But guess what? That equals $600 for the year. And I believe we spent less than $600 on Christmas last year. So, I mean, for somebody that's simple like me and my wife, I mean, we don't spend a lot of money on things that we buy. So, literally, I mean, that's just from there. You know, we're not even talking about internet and other things. You know, whatever else you may feel like you do. And then if you want to also join, you know, if you have a business, of course, tax deductions are everything, right? So join some nonprofit, join some like small organizations, like, you know, if you're in Cincinnati, the Urban League Young Professionals, that membership is tax deductible. Look at joining the African American Chamber of Commerce. That's literally tax deductible. So just continue to use your business and treat it like a business, and it will reward you like a business, man. So we gonna take some questions from my guy E. Gonna see what we gonna see what he asked me, man. See if I got an answer for it, man.
Nah. So earlier you had spoke on business and personal credit.
Yeah.
Are those two different things?
Two different things, because of course when you have a business, you have a different EIN. So business credit can be established easily, just like regular credit, but when lenders are looking at your business, they're going to, of course, look at the owner of the business, right, or the owners, and look at their credit to see what have they done. So it's important to first establish your own good personal credit, and then you can get into that. And this is for people that really are – business credit is different than personal credit, because if you use business credit – you know, if you don't pay that back, I mean, you can shut your business down, right? Like,
Like, it's different than just saying, oh, I gotta, you know, I just won't be able to refinance my car. It's, oh, I can't, you know, I gotta start from the bottom. So it's important to look at it. I mean, again, you can, the biggest thing, and I think this is something, E, that you talked about off air, but you know, the relationships that you have with your financial institution, right? A bank versus a versus a credit union. So with banks, with credit unions, whichever one you choose to go through, you have to build relationships with the people that work there. You can have all the money in the world in there, but if they don't see your face, if they don't see what you do, if they don't see you're a nice guy or a nice lady, chances are they not gonna write, you know, press when they getting, you know, that pushback when they trying to get your loan through, when they trying to get a deal done for you. Like, so, you know, and again, the difference, the biggest difference between a credit union and a bank is regulations. Credit unions are regulated by the NCUA, National Credit Unions of America, I believe, or National Credit Union Association, whichever one, just type it in Google, it'll pop up. And then banks are regulated by the FDIC, right? So that's the biggest thing, and credit unions can, they have the best interest rates for whether a house or a car. You can get pre-approved if you have very good credit, very good relationships with them. You can really get a lot of stuff, man. So,
all right, and the last question is, when you were speaking on, what was it called, the self-lender?
Self-lender, yeah.
All right, so do they charge interest rates, or like,
they what's do it for them? For them, the interest rate is about like 12%. But that's cheaper than any credit card that you'll get. You know, if again, if you get a $500 credit card, you max that out, you're gonna pay a lot back, especially if you're just making minimum payments. But again, the difference is after you make your $500, you know, installments on self-lender, you get all that money back. That's why it's a good program, not because, you know, you're getting charged interest, it's because the money that you're paying is gonna come back to you. As opposed to, I mean, there's really nothing else that you pay for that money is going to come back to you after you're done paying it back. No loan, no, I mean, even a house, I mean, you got to pay, but I mean, it ain't like you getting all that money back. You just, I mean, you got the physical, physical house, which is, you know, part of generational wealth. That's why it's the great thing. But that self-lender, I think, is really going to be revolutionary for the next generation, and even for us that's, you know, still in our 20s, trying to make sure that we you know, I mean, I know some people that looking at filing bankruptcy. So if that's the case, if they feel like that's the best way, which in most cases is not, because we don't have a lot of debt, we just don't have a lot of income. So going forward, I think that'll replace, I want that to replace credit cards and replace these, you know, small, you know, buy here, pay here loans, different things like that. So, but appreciate them questions, E, man. But again, we if you haven't realized it by now, credit is everything. Credit is the ace. And you just gotta manage it better. And again, if you need help, reach out to us. We will, our consultations are definitely affordable for anybody, and we literally can get you set up with a plan that in the next, you know, we're not talking about the next 3 to 4 years, we're talking about the next 3 to 4 months, you can start looking at a better credit score. So again, this is Lawrence Kane Jr. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day, rest of your night if you're a night owl listening to this. And remember, financial success, it happens on purpose. God bless.